freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Patriot Coalition Live. I'm Matthew Nugent.
And I'm Jason Marocek.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Our goal is to create a timeless resource to teach about the U.S. Constitution and the proper role of government, the importance of America's Judeo-Christian heritage, and how to defend against threats to our republic. We want to engage members of our armed forces, veterans, first responders, and the patriots who support them in the noble professions. We want to hear from you. We have a new email address. It's freedom@patriotcoalitionlive.com. That's freedom@patriotcoalitionlive.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please send us a line. Okay, y'all ready for this?
Absolutely.
Let's do this. Okay, the title of today's episode is Interposition, Standing in the Gap. That word is interposition. Okay, all right, here's the situation. An election was stolen in front of us in plain sight, and we saw it in real time. There's extensive evidence that the now president-elect, you know, soon to be inaugurated on, by the time we release this on January 19th. So tomorrow, to be what we call the traitor-in-chief. I'll say that again, the traitor-in-chief, president of the United States, and his family selling access to the vice presidency and now consequently access to the most powerful position in the world, president of the United States. So he will be the commander in chief, aka the traitor in chief. Okay, it is what it is, guys. We are upset when we saw the evening of November 3rd, election night, how at 7:30 in key states, counting just stopped, and Trump was ahead. And the next day, Biden seemed to have had votes out of nowhere. We trusted the elected officials. They have failed us. They lacked competence, courage, action, and integrity. And now 75 million Americans and their family are pissed off. Okay, so it's true. So what now?
Well, let's first talk about what not to do now, right? So, and as you just said, you know, there are, people are ticked off. They are emotional. Mm-hmm. They want something to do, but we have to consider that the thing that we can't do is we can't go kinetic. Right.
And what kinetic means to our non-military personnel, civilians, is that going kinetic means starting to shoot and shoot weapons.
Yeah. And so we have to consider that what would be the cause? What would be the purpose in doing this? You know, the potential, we have to weigh the pros and cons of doing something like that. And I know everyone out there has probably heard, oh, there's going to be a civil war, or, you know, we're going to, you know, stand up and take our country back. Mm-hmm. What are the pros and what are the cons?
Yeah. And to that point, understand this, Jason and I are trained war fighters. We're both West Point grads. He was an infantry officer. I was a combat engineer officer. I did go to Ranger school. And for those of you who've been to Ranger school, I did take the extended course. But I made it through. So understand this. We are trained to fight and win our nation's wars. And if necessary, a civil war. But we have to be intelligent about it. We have to be strategic. There has to be goals, priorities, and a way to win. And going kinetic is not the way we can win, or it's not the best way. Okay.
Yeah, certainly not now. And again, so if we're weighing the pros and cons, you have on one side the potential loss of life in the thousands. Right. Mm-hmm. And what would we gain? What would we gain on the other side? What would be the mm-hmm. objective of taking up arms right now? I know that I've heard from just, you know, the swirl on the interwebs and social media about doing something like this. But how do people envision this happening? Are we going to, you know, hold Chief Justice Roberts at gunpoint to make sure that he swears in the right man? I mean, how does this, how do we envision this working? I don't think a lot of people have articulated that. Certainly not well enough that I understand or Matt understands exactly what that objective mm-hmm, would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So considering the potential loss of life and the lack of clarity around the objective, something that which, you know, warfighters, service members, are always clamoring for anytime we have to send our sons and daughters into battle. We That's always right. want clarity around the objective. And there's certainly not any of that right now.
Yeah. And so is civil war an option? Yes, it's an option. Is it the best option? No. Can we win and get our liberties back with other options? Yes. What Jason said is, you know, we held a gun. If we were to hold a gun to Justice Roberts' head and say, you know, not sign in, but swear in, you know, President Trump, the problem that wouldn't work. And here's the reason why. It's what I call the three-headed beast of mainstream media, big tech, and big business. They own the optics, and they will take what little bad that we may have done, or someone associated or claims to be associated with us has done, like on January 6th in Congress. And they will, for 24/7, will have a news cycle and, you know, and call us traitors and call all of us terrorists, and that, which is what they're trying to do, to intimidate those who love freedom, but I'll say, you know, it confuses them. Also, at the same time, we witnessed for months that there was burning, looting, and murdering going on, not coincidentally, in Democratic cities and states all across the United States. And these Democrat leaders allowed it to go on for months and did it in the name of social justice.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bottom line is, because we don't own the optics, as Matt said, every mm-hmm. mistake that patriots make will be yep. highlighted ad nauseum. And every atrocity that the enemies of liberty make will be hidden and obscured from the public's view.
That's right.
So those
That's
people right. who are maybe in the middle somewhere, not sure what to do, and who are going to be influenced by this, we're not going to win those hearts and minds.
That's right.
And so let's be clear. I mean, if you were with us for the last few episodes, we covered in depth the the Declaration of Independence and all the principles of liberty. One of those is that if a government becomes destructive to the ends of liberty, it is mm-hmm. our right and it is our duty to throw them, you know, to throw them off. So we always reserve that right. But as Matt said, while we reserve that right, now is not the time, especially with the lack of clarity that we are not seeing, I should say. Okay. There's still other options too, right? So yep. what is it? So we've talked about what we shouldn't do. What is it that we need to do? Mm-hmm. Well, we need to encourage our elective officials to stand in the gap for us against any sort of tyrannical edicts or actions that are soon to be coming down the pike, right? We anticipate a lot of this mm-hmm. stuff happening. So yep. As Matt said, the title of this article or this episode is mm-hmm. interposition, right? So interposition literally means to stand between yep. two things. So interposition is essentially when, if you can imagine a tyrant and mm-hmm. we the people on two ends of a spectrum, on the line. And mm-hmm. when the tyrant is trying to impose their will unjustly, unconstitutionally against we the people, mm-hmm. we need somebody who's going to stand in the middle, who's going to interpose between that act of tyranny and our freedom, right? So interposition is the act mm-hmm. of someone standing between someone who's trying to take our rights from us and us who's just trying to live our life in liberty. Now, this can happen from a number of different sources, but in all cases, the question that we have to ask ourselves when we figure out how we're going to employ interposition is exactly what punishment is trying to be enacted on us. So in other words, if the government's going to do something, okay, they say they're going to do something. Well, what is it going to be? How are they going to enforce that? And we always go back to, or I always go back to, because I love this quote. But back in the early 1800s, when President Andrew Jackson was president, the Supreme Court, with Chief Justice Marshall as the Chief Justice, mm-hmm. they issued an opinion that Andrew Jackson didn't like. He disagreed with it. He didn't think it was constitutional. And his famous quote went something like this, you know, Chief Justice Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it.
Right.
And this is the epitome of interposition. The Supreme Court can issue an opinion, but they have no authority. They have no capability to actually enforce it. He relies on the executive branch to do that. And so the idea is that, okay, you can say what you're going to do. You can give us a regulation or an unconstitutional enactment, mm-hmm. but we don't have to do anything. And if the executive branch, as an example, is not going to enforce it, we don't have anything to worry about. So again, back to interposition, it's the idea that someone's going to stand in between and not allow the enforcement of something that is unconstitutional or unjust.
There you go. So Jason gave, a historic example of interposition at the presidential level. Now, what about us, particularly, I'll speak to veterans, okay? We took an oath to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. I'll give you an example, and this could happen, okay? Let's say your company commander, and you are at Fort Bliss, Texas, and your company commander gives you an order to assist police in rounding up weapons from U.S. citizens. Okay, first of all, that's illegal because of the Posse Comitatus Act, which is a legal act, which basically says U.S. military forces cannot be or conduct operations on U.S. soil unless there's been an enemy incursion into the United States. And because in that state, they have what's called a National Guard, okay? So that is unlawful, okay? Second, it's a clear violation of the Second Amendment rights. Now, so what do you do if you're a soldier? What if you're a platoon leader and your company commander says that? You refuse to do it. Yes, you could, be court-martialed, and then justice would reign, okay? And now some people might say, we didn't see justice in the last few months. You're right. And let me tell you something. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. And if you guys were here right now, if you're watching this, I want you to look in my eyes and say, this is not, and so you can hear me and see me say, this is not the end. This is the beginning. We're taking an intelligent, peaceful approach. And as a patriot, being a patriot is not something that you do, it's a way of life. It's a high standard, but our time demands it. Liberty demands it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Liberty is not something that is just easy to defend, right? And again, my personal model, principles only mean something if you stick to them when it's inconvenient. And there are going to be some really inconvenient times coming up. I have a feeling that is. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be ready to stick to our principles, even if that means, facing some sort of consequence, even if it's unjust until we right the ship, right? So interposition, Matt talked about an example, gave kind of a comparison to those of you who are maybe service members or veterans right now. Mm-hmm. So finding a way for someone to stand between a tyrant and we the people. So one other way that we can employ interposition is by exerting our state's rights in accordance with the 10th Amendment, right? So the 10th Amendment says that, any authority that the Constitution, if they don't give this authority to the state, to the federal government, to the United States government, and they don't deny that right and that authority to the states, then the states get to decide what is law, right? If it's not listed in, for example, right. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, then the federal government, the national government doesn't get to do that. Only the states get to. And so we're going to probably start to see a lot of things that the federal government wants to now, with their monopoly on power in mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., they're going to start rattling off and signing these unconstitutional enactments is what we call them. And we'll get more into that a little bit later in another episode. But just because a Congress writes a bunch of words on a piece of paper and the president signs it doesn't mean that it complies with the Constitution. And so therefore, it's not a law. It's an unconstitutional enactment. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of these things that are coming to come out of Washington soon. And it's going to be up mm-hmm. to the states initially to stand in that gap, to interpose between the tyranny and us. Mm-hmm. So what might this look like? And I'll use a pretty tame or benign example, and that is the EPA, right? If they start with a whole bunch of nonsense about, the Green New Deal or, environmental protections and restrictions based on, false science or even true science that they don't have any authority to legislate. Let's take an example here in Texas. We have a lot of lakes in Texas, bodies of water. If the EPA says, hey, no one in the United States is going to be allowed to build within, let's say, 40 feet of any water. Mm-hmm. Well, that restricts our ability to live our lives and to, live in freedom. So mm-hmm. in an example like that, we would expect that our state government, led by hopefully our chief executive, to say, we're not going to enforce that here. EPA, if you decide that you're going to try to send some sort of regulators, remember in our past episode, swarms of officers, if mm-hmm. you're going to send swarms of officers here, you're going to be met at our either our border or at that body of water mm-hmm. by Department of Public Safety troopers. Right. That is an example of interposition from a state level, states exerting their rights that federal government, you do not own the authority to decide what happens to the lakes in our state.
There you go. And if you haven't already listened to our previous episodes about the Declaration of Independence, it's really important. What Jason alluded to a moment ago is that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of what we're seeing and what we're going to see, or at least over the next 2 years, because the Dems and the leftists, they have a monopoly. They're going to have tomorrow, by the time this is published, they're going to have the presidency, they're going to have the House, they're going to have the Senate. And right now, the Supreme Court is very slow to act, as we saw in the last couple months. So, but what went on prior to the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, tendrils of tyranny were wrapped throughout the then colonial states, and it's happening right now. You veterans, you military warfighters, listen, it's our job to be ready, to be brave, to courageous. I call on you also to be wise. Okay? Okay. Should civil war always be an option? Let me ask you this. Why did our founders, starting with the states, because that's where the real power comes from, why did they make sure that we had the Second Amendment? Why did they make sure we had a militia so that they would always be ready, so they'd always have that as an option? You should always have it an option. Doesn't mean you're going to use it. So we need to use wisdom. We can still win this battle to make sure that we have liberty and freedom and get tyranny out of here, but we're going to do it intelligently. Okay. So, and so Jason and I are warfighters, but we do our best to exercise good judgment and wisdom.
Yeah, it really is. It's the duty of every single person who has taken that oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to oppose all these unconstitutional measures. It doesn't matter whether or not you're still wearing the uniform. If you took that oath, every one of us, whether we are in uniform or whether we are in an elected office, right? Every single elected office in the United States, they took that same oath. So every one of them at every level has a duty to interpose whenever they see something that is unconstitutional. So, how does a U.S. patriot then stand in the gap, Matt, via non-kinetic means without firing bullets, if that's what we're saying?
So we're going to talk about civilian interposition. You're not a politician. And we're going to give you some examples here. And we would like to hear from you. Okay. We have a new email address. It's freedom@patriotcoalitionlive.com. That's freedom@patriotcoalitionlive.com. Okay, these are some things that are really recent that has just happened. And we'll talk about some examples too.
You know what? And even before we get to that, Matt, let me just throw this out here. Look, sometimes it is, not to belabor this point, but sometimes it can be more effective to oppose something without bullets than with bullets, right?
Right.
And we talked about the sort of the optics game. You know, to move the needle of public opinion is going to be extremely important in these next couple of years, especially if we want to retake some liberty. And the example, you know, let's say, is, you know, let's say somebody is going to come in and a new law against firearms, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can no longer have any semi-automatic rifles, right? If the ATF decides that they're going to come in and take weapons from people's homes, we're expecting someone like the county sheriff to come in and stand and protect our homes. Say, hey, look, you have no right to go in and take these weapons because it is unconstitutional. So another example of interposition where maybe a sheriff lends his ability to come in and stand in mm-hmm. that gap. But these are the sorts of things, you know, we're not taking the first act. We're just standing up for freedom. Mm-hmm. We're going to force somebody else, the tyrant, to take the first violent act. And we're just going to stand there and say, no, you can't do that. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to actually assault us or take it by force. And that is going to help us, you know, win hearts and minds, because
yes.
you can clearly see, even without firing bullets, that we're mm-hmm. just standing there defending liberty. Sorry to interrupt.
Hey, no, it's always good. And listen, if you stand in the gap, there'll be a price. But I'll tell you what, our goal is to get what we need, and that's liberty at the lowest cost necessary.
Yeah,
but we have to be willing to pay that price, and we need to do it with wisdom and good judgment. So. Here's some examples. In this case, they are political. This happened recently in early January 2021. The Pennsylvania legislature removed the president of the Senate, and it's organized very similarly to, you know, the United States federal government. There, the president of their state Senate is the lieutenant governor. Removed him from office. And you can look up online. He was screaming and yelling in the background, and we banging the gavel and said, this is unconstitutional. But it wasn't. And they voted him out of office. They kicked him out of his position as the U.S. Senate. They calmly counted votes, and the yeas stood. That is such brave interposition in Pennsylvania.
Yes,
and
sir.
They did it because he didn't do his job to make sure that the Pennsylvania vote was done correctly. Okay. Also, in Los Angeles recently, this was been going on over the last couple of weeks. As you know, we mentioned this before. The socialist, California Governor Newsom has put out draconian measures of closing churches. Over 99% of churches cannot be open, or at least have strict measures. People cannot attend. And churches in LA said, we're going to go to church. If you can open strip clubs, you can open bars, you can open marijuana dispensaries, you can open casinos, but I can't open a church. You can, you know, go out and protest without masks by the thousands, but we can't worship the Lord. This is where leadership comes in. I'm so proud of these pastors, okay? Because at the early start, the founding of our nation, pastors led the people, okay?
Yeah.
And the sheriff said, I'm not going to enforce the laws. So they're going to church. You got that? Yesterday, here's another example. Yesterday, it was reported
Matt, actually, real quick, before you even get to that example, and just so you know, that these are the reasons why Californians are trying to recall Gavin Newsom, right? There's a recall going on. If you guys don't know about it and you live in California, you need to mm-hmm. find out about it. And I want to say it's recallgavin2020.com or something like that, but you can mm-hmm. go and find it. You can find information on how you can participate in that and try to retake liberty in your state.
Yeah. And those recalls work. And I pray he gets removed from office and someone of more conservative minds that gets into office. So yesterday it was reported that a gym owner in New Jersey, do you know this gym owner's name?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll get that. I'd like to have him as a guest. Yesterday it was reported that a gym owner in New Jersey who has refused to acquiesce to really tyrannical regulations requiring him to jump through excessive hoops to stay in business. And he refused to pay the fines. He refused to go to these measures, and he stayed open. Now, listen to this. The state of New Jersey took all of the money out of his bank accounts. Yes, that's Jen, right.
This is more insidious than a lot of stuff that we've seen. I mean, this is on par with the election fraud, because if they can take money out of your account without due process, because they have a regulation that is causing you to shut down your business, it's a whole new ball game. There's no such thing as private property anymore.
And this guy kept his business open because that's his livelihood.
Right.
He doesn't want to depend on the government. Obviously, we're incensed about this. I want to get this guy on our podcast and have him as a guest. And what do we do as fellow citizens? First, you got to understand this. It's going to take one brave business owner like this man is. We're going to get his name. And other people will follow suit. I remember, I don't want to get us off track, but obviously we're righteously upset about this.
Yeah. And what's even worse is now, even though there's a lawsuit going on about this, he no longer has money to pay for an attorney. So he can't now cannot defend himself or try to go after his money because he has no money to spend on attorneys. I mean, so it's a double whammy. This is extremely insidious.
Yeah. That's why one of the reasons we support Liberty Counsel. It's a pro bono organization that defends life, that defends liberty for people like this, and they don't charge them. Their website is lc.org, like Liberty Counsel, lc.org. We are very proud and to support them, and we're grateful that they are there. So I'm sure he's already reached out to someone like that. But when that happens to somebody, guys, we're warning you, this will happen in more frequency. So just get ready. And we have to stand in solidarity against this tyranny. So you stand with those that are oppressed like that. You support them emotionally with messages, with letters, financially and materially as well.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you own a gym or own a business in New Jersey, you do the same thing. And when we do it by the dozens, and you will take your state, you'll take your community back and your state back. Okay.
But as you alluded to earlier, if you're going to stand in the gap, you have to be also ready to pay the price. It's not a, you know, it took us decades to get to where we are today, and we can't just assume and expect that we're going to get out of it cheaply and quickly and with ease.
Well said. Well said. So what do you see ahead for us, Jason, in terms of potential upcoming power grabs?
So you talked about a couple of past examples. Probably the things that we hear the most about potentially coming up, you know, from concerns from people, right? Universal vaccinations, you know, mandatory vaccinations, and taking away our right to bear arms. And we kind of talked about a little bit about this. So let's talk about the vaccination situation. And if you don't know, if you haven't been listening for too long to our podcast, we did do a whole episode on vaccinations in episode 8, I believe it is.
Yep, that's right. Episode 8.
Episode 8. And, so let's take an example of, you know, because the trader in chief elect, I guess you have to say trader in chief elect, trader in chief elect right now still.
Yeah, he's a traitor by nature, but he was elected as president. Or no, I'm saying he will be sworn in as president. He wasn't elected as president, but he will be the traitor in chief.
Yeah. So he didn't make any bones about wanting to, you know, mandate masks and, pushing the vaccinations. And so a lot of people are concerned that that's going to happen. So let's take an example in, Matt, your home state of Florida. So let's say that they do say everybody has to get the vaccination. Now, we don't know what form that's going to take, what necessarily the consequences are, how they're going to enforce it, et cetera. But an example of interposition that we need to employ, if that were to happen, let's say in Florida, is Governor DeSantis. He just says, no, I'm sorry. Healthcare is not something that the federal government can dictate here in my state. I'm not going to enforce this regulation or this unconstitutional enactment because it's going to affect teachers, parents, students, state employees, and all those are my responsibility in this state. And so we're just not going to issue those. Now, federal government, if you're going to send your swarms of officers of HHS employees here to try to pin people down and inject them, you know, I'm using an extreme example. We're going to be ready to hear and to meet you. If you're going to try to deny them some sort of access to services, you know, we will fill the gap. We will take care of our citizens instead of them depending on you. So these are the sorts of things that we expect of honorable men and women of character who are leading us. And if they don't exhibit this courage, then it's time to do as Zebulon Vance, the first governor of North Carolina, said. When he said, if you find yourself that you have scoundrels and scallywags in office, you got to turn them out, and you got to keep turning them out until you send honorable men to Washington. So yes. If these people aren't doing that, you got to make sure that you're finding people who can.
Yeah, and DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, is an honorable man. He's a strong leader, and he will one day, I hope, be a presidential candidate because he is amazing, a fine leader.
So that's the vaccine side. Matt, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. How about give us a Texas example?
Yeah. Well, so here in Texas, you may have heard we like our guns and we like to keep our guns. And I saw something the other day. It's like some sort of meme. I'll probably butcher it. But here goes anyway. It's like if a new law says that, you know, I can only have two guns, and I started with 37 guns, and they come in and take my two my 37 guns. How many? You know, I already butchers this. If they say I can only have two guns, and they come and take my two guns, how many am I going to have left? And it's like 37 because I didn't tell you about the other ones, right? So that's how much we love our guns here.
There you go. You
know, it's funny. This is going to have to go in our outtakes, I think, because that was a pretty bad example. Anyways, moving along, my attempted humor epic fail today. So if they employ some sort of unconstitutional enactment that wants to come in and let's say none of us are allowed to have semiotic weapons anymore, again, and probably an extreme example, I hope. What do we do about that? And it's the same thing. We hope that at the highest level possible, our elected officials are going to interpose for us. And that means our Texas Governor Greg Abbott. He's going to say, hey, look, you know, for whatever reason, I don't even, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Governor Abbott. He's done some pretty knuckleheaded things, including imposing sanctions. But let's just say he just wants to stick his finger in the eye of the traitor in chief and say, nope, you're not going to do that here. You know, I'll applaud him for doing it because he's doing the right thing, albeit for the wrong reasons. So if he's going to say, no, you're not going to come in here. And if you try to do this in any of the jurisdictions here in Texas, we're going to meet you with DPS. I'm going to encourage my
sheriff. DPS?
Oh, I'm sorry. Department of Public Safety here in Texas. It's like our state troopers.
Public safety. I love that.
Right. So we're going to meet you with our DPS, our state troopers. We're going to meet you with, and I'm going to encourage the county sheriffs to do the same, that say, hey, look, you need to honor your oath and stand between the tyrant and we, the people. So, and just like we talked about in the earlier example, you know, if ATF comes, you know, whether it's the DPS or the sheriffs, they need to be standing in that gap, or we'll find somebody who will, right?
Yeah. So you mentioned, you started off saying, well, here in Texas, you know what that reminds me of? This is a biblical allusion. Whenever the devil tempted Jesus, he said, but it is written. It's kind of like, well, here in Texas,
right?
You know, so yes, I got that meme. I get it. So here's the big problem we need to consider, guys. All this corruption that took place, that has been taking place, and all this censorship, it has been empowered and has been enabled by what I call the three-headed beast of mainstream media, big tech, and big business. What's ironic is this three-headed beast was empowered by American citizens through our time, our attention, and our dollars. Already we've seen, because of, and I'll go over some of the details here, Twitter lost they lost $5 billion of their value. Facebook lost $12 billion of their market value. Oh, and that is just the beginning of the bleeding, let me tell you. So understand this. Once you take the food away from the beast, our time, attention, and dollar, and you create a new conservative economy, we'll create a new animal, and it'll be the eagle of freedom, man. I'm telling you, I just thought of that right now. I love it. You know, versus the three-headed beast. Now, here's some examples of what has taken place so far over the past couple of months. Early 2021, in Twitter kicked off the president of the United States, Trump, off its platform forever. They've already been censoring him. And they kicked off 60,000 conservative people off its platform. That is insanity. You know what? I'm not surprised, though, because I'm getting surprised less and less by what the left will do. And you know what? You out there, you need to be too. Sure, you need to share these to convince people. But once you are convinced of what's going on, like Jason and I are, take some action. A good friend of mine sent me a post, and I was like, I know I'm in the action mode. And hopefully this will give you guys hope. You understand? Also, Facebook, along with six other major social social media platforms, canceled the president. One of them was Pinterest. Pinterest, are you kidding me?
You mean you haven't visited the president's Pinterest page?
I mean, what would the president be making? How you like my MAGA hat? It is amazing. You know, look at this mag. I mean, no, you cannot sell that on, you cannot advertise that on Pinterest. I mean, seriously? All that they're doing, guys, when they do that, first of all, it's bad business. Second of all, it's tyranny. Here's what you got to know. And this is a tease, because we at the Patriot Coalition and Patriot Coalition Live, Jason and I, okay, we are taking action, and it's economic action, because over the past several months, we've gotten our butt kicked by taking, primarily political measures to defend freedom. We are going to present a way that we are going to starve that three-headed beast of mainstream media, big tech, and big business. And you can participate. Okay. Google and Apple both canceled the Parler app off all of its operating systems. Like if you have a phone with Android operating system, in one keystroke, it was gone. Amazon Web Services, AWS, gave Parler.com, which is the free speech alternative to Twitter, 30 hours notice. And then bam, they said they cut them off. Okay. It was under the guise of, you allowed, tyrannical communication to take place. So, during the, craziness that took place on January 6th.
You facilitated the riots is what they're accusing them of
doing.
That's
ridiculous.
By not policing their own platform.
And by the way, they will allow the Ayatollah Khomeini, and they'll allow Iranian dictators to be on this. They'll allow Venezuelan dictators to use Twitter. By the way, for months, while, Marxism, guys, socialist and communism backed thugs burn, loot, and murder throughout cities and states in America. But Twitter didn't ban them. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave contributions to jail, to bail them out of prison. So obviously,
I understand it, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, she was soliciting people to try to raise money for those folks.
Here's a quote from Kamala Harris. She says, there is rioting going on. It needs to go on, and it needs to continue.
Yeah.
That's nearly a verbatim quote. And that is in fact inciting violence. You got to understand, guys, that the left says that they don't care about liberty. They just care about power. They will skew and lie and cheat and steal. And, some of you are just getting it. I mean, it took me a couple of years to get it. But because, Jason, like myself, I am a patriot. Once I get it, I take action. That's what we're doing. Amazon canceled any product of Trump related to products or by its manufacturing subsidiary. So basically, Amazon has a manufacturing arm that, it's basically, they can make hats and things like that. So Amazon says, we don't want any Trump products basically sold on this. I mean,
yep.
Hey, you know, that's fine.
And again, you know, these are moms and, you know, small businesses who are trying to make a living, who are designing things and sending them off to Amazon to print up or to manufacture for them or their vendors. And they're now taking that away from the people to be able to do that. Now, private company, et cetera, but they are empowering tyranny by every at each of these stages.
So that said, that we have gotten our butt kicked, you know, we freedom loving patriots, predominantly conservatives, over the last 6 months and year, because we've taken predominantly political measures. But just like those are privately owned companies, guess what? We own our time, attention, and dollars. So ironically, we have empowered this three-headed beast of mainstream media, big tech, and big business with our time, attention, and dollars. Folks, do you see what's happening now that America is starting to say, no more, no more? And Jason and I are taking some actions to make a conservative economy. So what do
more
we need to
follow.
Do? More to follow. So long term, what do we need to do? We absolutely need to restore election integrity. We need to send men and women in office of strong moral character who understand the principles of liberty and the proper role of government, who are willing to stand and defend them.
And by the way, that restoration of election integrity and sending men and women, you know, strong moral character into office, we're not talking about just every 4 years in the general election for the presidential. Right. This stuff primarily happens locally in your states, the state legislatures. They're the ones that deal with election integrity. They're the ones that could have turned the tide of this election so that the fraud didn't happen. They could have appointed other electors. So when we say long-term, we say get involved and vote for elections in your states as well.
Here's another thing we need to do. We need to starve the three-headed beast of mainstream media, big tech, and big business. So we need to exercise interposition at all levels. We need to be vigilant as citizens. If you're an elected official, absolutely.
And what does that look like? That looks like you and me and Matt and everyone else out there that's listening, demanding of our elected officials, look, what is the oath that you took? Remind me of what that oath says. You support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So anything that comes down the pike that is unconstitutional, I expect you to do everything within your power to oppose that. We have to demand that of them and not just listen to us tell you this. It means that next step is for you to contact your elected officials and say, look, it's going to get tough out there, but here's my expectation of you and your duty.
You got it. Now, Jason mentioned get to know your elected officials. When you first do that, if you haven't already done so, and you get on the email and say, who is my district congressman? And then you'll put in your zip code or whatever, and it'll come up. And you call the office, and they don't answer their own phones, okay? Believe me, their time is so packed. And say, I want to introduce myself, and I want to come in and meet my congressman. They're going to say yes. You probably have to book an appointment. And just say, I wanted to meet you and ask your opinion about this. Once you do that, guys, you will be a different human being, I assure you. And your sense of being a true patriot, if that's out of your comfort zone, I challenge you to do that. Yep. And I say to you, you will be a different person. And you'll realize that the wall that surrounds us from what we think could happen if we do something, it's an invisible wall. Often it's self-imposed or imposed by what we think others might think about us.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, and we got to stop giving our time and attention, as you said, Matt, to that three-headed beast. Stop giving our time, attention, and dollars. It honestly is. Okay, well, Matt, great work today. Thank you for that. Folks, thank you all for joining us today. It's been a pleasure and an honor, as always. Please go to PatriotCoalitionLive.com for more information. That's PatriotCoalitionLive.com. Your monthly support is very valuable to us. It's a big help, so we appreciate that. And remember, now we have an email address that you can email us at, and that is freedom@patriotcoalitionlive.com. That's freedom@patriotcoalitionlive.com. You can also visit us on our website and contact us there. Please subscribe to the podcast, Patriot Coalition Live, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating.
You got
and,
it.
You know, you can get it at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or some of the other top podcasting platforms. So if you have any questions, you know, or topics maybe you'd like us to talk about, you know, comments, concerns, whatever, just go to patriotcoalitionlive.com and you can find us there and share them with us. And we'd be happy to take a look at those and maybe even incorporate them in a future episode. So
absolutely.
Thanks again, everyone. See you here next time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.